Stress is simply the pressure of daily living. That's right. To be alive is to be under some degree of stress. Stress can be generated either externally or internally, and how we handle our stress can have more to do with our health than perhaps any other factor. Excess stress is called distress. Thus, distress is the amount of stress over and above that which you adequately can manage or cope with. It is distress that studies have shown to account for anywhere from 50 to 80% of all disease. So no matter how hard we try, we probably can't completely avoid the stress of daily living, but we can learn to reduce it significantly and learn to reduce the impact that it has on us by learning certain skills for coping. This can keep us on the right side of that invisible line which puts us into the potentially dangerous arena of distress. So first, let's understand what stress is, and then we'll talk about ways of managing your stress. And remember that simple equation that the difference between the amount of stress you have and the amount of stress you're able to manage or cope with is what causes distress. Our goal here is to eliminate that distress as much as possible. Just as many people confuse frustration with low frustration tolerance, many confuse stress with distress. Stress in and of itself can be a motivator and a possible source of change and excitement. The fact that some people are so much better equipped than others to handle stress simply means that their stress management skills are more intact. For example, with a little bit of reframing, being under stress can motivate you to begin and complete a task that you've been putting off. One of the main causes of stress is change. This could refer to job changes, such as a promotion, demotion, or transfer, a change in your financial status, such as debts, loss of income, or even a substantial increase in income. Family changes such as marriage, a pregnancy, change in family responsibilities, or someone leaving the house almost always act as stressors. Retirement is a very common cause of stress, even though the main symptom may simply be boredom, which you may think of as anything but stressful. Nonetheless, it's a change and often an unanticipated one. For that matter, any major lifestyle change, a new relationship or divorce, someone moving into your home, moving your place of residence, changes in the way you spend leisure time, or changes in social activities. Also an illness or an injury, sexual difficulty, the illness of a family member, the death of a loved one, or another personal loss. These can all be sources of stress. And if you think that's all, even predictable events such as holidays and vacations stress your system. In fact, every holiday season, callers to my radio program want to talk about holiday stress more than anything else. In addition, there are numerous ways we put stressors on ourselves. Perhaps you tend to overplan each day, or you engage in so many activities or thoughts at the same time that you overtax your system. Excessive competitiveness and a dire need for recognition are all self-induced stressors. Not allowing yourself to relax, or worse yet, feeling guilty when you do relax is a big one. Low frustration tolerance and a chronic sense of what's called time urgency or hurry sickness not only cause excessive amounts of stress, but also dilute the quality of your enjoyment of life. Being overextended, being involved in too many projects with difficult or impossible deadlines, and don't forget that compulsion to work while neglecting all other areas of your life. These are all merely attitudes about life that bring stress onto yourself. Now, I'm not going to tell you to give them all up. I only ask that you recognize them and choose them consciously, or make your own decision to give them up as we go along. And if so, do it only because you acknowledge that it's in your ultimate best interest to do so. When is it in your best interest to recognize and to give these stressful attitudes up? Let me answer that question by describing to you the signs of distress, which once again is the excess amount of stress over and above that with which you're coping. Consider these signs of distress as warning signals: anxiety and depression, Tension headaches, backaches, tics, muscle spasms, migraine headaches, abdominal pains and ulcers, colitis and other bowel disorders, tachycardia and other cardiovascular symptoms, and high blood pressure or hypertension. If you experience pounding of the heart, speech difficulties, indigestion, grinding of the teeth, unexplained aches and pains such as in the neck or lower back, general irritability, and accident proneness, they are usually stress-related as well. Distress may also be the source of nervousness, sleeplessness, inattentiveness, feelings of fatigue, tightness of the chest, boredom, or an inability to slow down. In addition, allergies, sexual dysfunctions, and an inability to concentrate are all correlated to distress. Sometimes distress can be a circular thing. For example, if you're under a lot of distress, you could be neglecting your most important relationships. The result of that could be causing you more distress. Furthermore, your inability to handle those dilemmas may be something for which you're putting yourself down. Dissatisfaction with yourself is highly correlated to depression, which of course is often a sign of distress. Sometimes stress or distress is confused with burnout. Although the symptoms are similar, usually burnout refers to a specific area of your life, such as your job. In that case, sometimes a complete change of job is what's necessary. A complete career change, as we'll talk about later on, could be your next step. Sometimes a transition within the system in which you're working or a good restful vacation is the answer. You know that it's job burnout when you feel a marked change in your mood for the better when you're out of that work environment. Burnout also applies to relationships such as marriage. Love relationships that are stormy can certainly contribute a great deal of stress to every area of your life. But those that are characterized by indifference, especially when they were at one time fulfilling, are often said to be suffering from burnout. If this is the case and your relationship is one that you want to save, it's essential to begin communicating with your partner about this immediately, for it's important to agree that this is what's happening. Next, talk about how things were different when you first got together and try to work as a team to recreate that climate so that those sparks you once had can be reactivated if possible. For a number of reasons, many couples find this very difficult to do without the help of a third party, such as a marriage counselor or a couples therapist. When two people are willing to work together to rekindle a relationship that may be on the verge of burning out, the success rate in counseling is very high. So how do we prevent stress from becoming distress? Well, the answer lies in learning some new attitudes and some new habits that will result in a healthier lifestyle. Let's look at these one at a time. Is having it all something you're trying to accomplish? If so, can you truthfully say that you've ever met a person who's had it all? I haven't. Remember the secret that practically all high achievers who manage not to get distressed seem to know is that with hard work and determination, you can have practically anything you want, but not everything you want. To the extent that you make having it all your highest priority, then you're a perfect candidate for both job and relationship burnout, as well as untold amounts of distress. In addition to pushing yourself way too hard toward what is probably an impossible mission, chances are your self-esteem suffers as you experience the inability to reach this unlikely goal as a failure. It's possible that whatever it is that you do accomplish, instead of enjoying the fruits of your hard-earned labor, you negate the progress you've made. The key is to be satisfied with what you do have in one level while striving for those additional things you want at another level. So keep those goals realistic and allow yourself to experience some satisfaction with what you have before pressing yourself for what you don't. After all, what's it all about anyway? This could mean putting some things off, such as having a child or relocating for advancement, or just plain giving yourself a break from being under the constant pressure to climb that ladder of success. When you tell yourself that you must succeed in order to be a worthwhile person, chances are you're putting success above happiness. And after all, isn't happiness the purpose of success in the first place? Avoid the impatience of hurry sickness. Allow for delays. Give yourself some slack in your schedule and enjoy those times when you need to wait as a gift of time. I found it very useful always to have a pencil and paper with me so that I can jot ideas down whenever I'm somewhere where I have to wait. Perhaps this involves working toward enjoying your own company. If you can give yourself that gift, I can practically guarantee you that solitude will be one of your most favorite ways to spend time. Set priorities wisely while considering long-term versus short-term consequences. This can apply when taking on new projects as well as when taking on an attitude of aggravation towards something which in reality is really meaningless, or when it comes to spending your time around individuals or circumstances that are ultimately meaningless. If your time is tight, a great habit could be to think about how meaningful whatever it is you're considering doing will be to you 1, 2, or 3 years from now. Use this test to set priorities, and I can practically guarantee you that you'll be easier on yourself. Does the project or issue really matter? Sometimes you need to step back a bit and look at it objectively. Once again, do this as though you were advising someone else. If you find that it's difficult to achieve long-term meaning, then just say no. Perhaps you will feel a little bit guilty at first, but remember how guilt is usually just a self-defeating attitude, especially when you've really done nothing wrong. With a little practice, you'll learn to ignore that guilt and be much more conserving and self-protective. Try reaching out to others around you and feeling stressed. Don't get hung up on an absolute attitude that says that dependence on others is a sign of weakness. An example is if you're experiencing an economic crisis, and let's face it, there are few things that can throw a family into as much emotional turmoil as an economic crisis, such as one caused by sudden unemployment, a large unexpected expense, a disability, or a major financial loss. But families who are able to be there for each other, stay together throughout the crisis, and avoid blaming themselves or each other, no matter how tempting it may be, are those who manage to get through this with the least amount of distress and come out stronger for it. Keep a diary of your stressful situations. These include negative feelings. Include in it all of the W's: who, what, when, where, and why, about whatever it is that's going wrong. It's often helpful if there's someone you can discuss them with. If there's an ongoing situation that you can't seem to resolve, get professional help. And if you determine that you may need to go that route, consider reaching out for help as a power tool, not as a sign of weakness. Sometimes an objective party can help you to zero in on something that you were so close to that no matter how long you wrestled with it, it could have been very difficult for you to see clearly. Make a list of things that you feel good about and that make you feel good, and when you're under the gun, take a look at that list so you can find some positive things that you can avail yourself to. A little later in this tape, I'll talk about ways of learning to relax. But you know those things you enjoy. Hobbies, playing golf, tennis, or another sport, getting a massage, going to your favorite museum, calling a friend you may not speak to often but who you feel relaxed about talking to, taking a sailing trip, playing Scrabble, going for a long walk, some place that has a pleasing environment such as an ocean, lake, or wooded area. Fall back on those things when you need them the most. Make effective use of your time by organizing your activities. Try to make your routine as unstressful as possible. Anticipating unexpected things will come up that will add stress. To have a routine scheduled that by definition is stressful only invites more stress than you may be able to handle. Chances are you can't solve all your problems at once. Focus on what you can do effectively now. Also, try to address issues that will inevitably come up at another time during a period when you're not overly bothered by them. It's those times that your thinking is much clearer and you're usually able to do much more effective problem solving. Take vacations regularly. Don't fall into the trap of thinking you're indispensable. No one is. Sometimes by simply changing your environment, your entire outlook will change as well. Short-term solutions, such as the use of drugs and alcohol, may make you temporarily feel better, but remember, they're not without their side effects. Ways of natural relaxation can be just as effective and a whole lot safer. Of course, there are times when prescribed medication is necessary, but self-medicating through drug or alcohol abuse usually causes many more problems than it solves. A complete program of stress management and burnout prevention also involves exercise, nutrition, relaxation, in addition to learning these positive attitudes. The type and amount of exercise you do is a highly individual matter, But 20 to 30 minutes three times a week of an aerobic type exercise where you bring your heart rate up to about 75% of your maximum heart rate, which is about 220 minus your age, is thought to be the minimum for good cardiovascular conditioning. However, if you've been sedentary before beginning any exercise program, please have a checkup and exercise only with the knowledge of a physician familiar with your physical condition. Eating correctly, eliminating or moderating your use of sugar, caffeine, preservatives, artificial flavoring, red meat, highly processed foods, and fat products are extremely effective in increasing your immunity to distress. Arguably, the most important aspect of a good stress management program is to learn relaxation. At the end of this tape, I'll give you a couple of methods to do this, but first be aware of some other factors that'll go a long way toward making stress work for you. Listen to your favorite music. Try to build fun into your daily schedule at work as well as at home. If this is not possible, something's wrong. Perhaps you're not in the environment you need to be in order to have a happy life. Seek out those chronic sources of stress and do whatever is possible to make the changes you need to make. If you start feeling some anxiety coming on, practice breathing rhythmically and deeply. If you master this, you'll feel the stress just peel away. In addition to doing exercise on a regular basis, do some daily stretching and find a form of activity that's fun for you and that will also get you active. If meditation or prayer work for you, make it a regular part of your daily life. Find that center within yourself that's safe and compatible with your ability to relax. As I said earlier, so much of your life will fall into place if you don't take yourself too seriously. But even if you don't do any of the things that I mentioned on this tape, accept yourself anyway. If you're now driving a car, you may want to turn the tape recorder off and turn it back on when you can. Sit back and close your eyes as I'm going to teach you a very simple relaxation method that anyone can do practically anywhere for just about any length of time. The more you do this, the easier it gets. Sit comfortably in a chair or lie down. If you sit, don't let your head fall backwards or let your hands touch each other. Tell yourself that you'll take 5 deep breaths and go into a state of relaxation. Next, take 4 deep breaths, inhale the 5th breath, and say, relax now. Exhale and tell yourself you'll let go of your tensions with each breath. Allow yourself to just drift. If thoughts come through your head, just let them go by, almost like clouds in the sky. Don't pay a lot of attention to them and they won't bother you. Stay here for as long as you would like. 5 to 20 minutes is about the average time. If you're concerned with time, it's okay to open your eyes and to look at your watch and then close your eyes once again as you discover you have more time. Tell yourself you'll count from 1 to 5 when you're ready to bring yourself back, and you will come up feeling rested and fully refreshed. And until you're in bed and ready to go to sleep tonight, you'll remain awake, alert, and fully rested. When you are ready to come up, simply count forward from 1 to 5, and at the count of 5, your eyes will open and you'll be fully refreshed and back in the room. We'll have more relaxation exercises later in the series.